On April 28, 1868, T.D. wrote a letter to Mitty, who was paying a visit to Savannah along with Theodore Sr. and Corinne. It is the earliest of his 150,000 letters to survive, yet there glitters in virtually every sentence a facet of his mature personality. "My dear Mama, I have just received your letter. What an excitement! What long letters you do write! I don't see how you can write them. My mouth opened wide with astonishment when I heard how many flowers were sent in to you. I could revel in the buggy ones. I jumped with delight when I found you heard the mockingbird. Get some of its feathers if you can. Thank Johnny for the feathers of the soldier's cap. Give him my love also. We cried when you wrote about Grandmama. Give my love to the good-natured, to use your own expression, handsome lion, and to Connie, Johnny, Maud, and Aunt Lucy. I am sorry the trees have been cut down. Aunt Annie, Edith, and Ellie send their love to you and all I sent mine to. In the letter you write, tell me how many curiosities and living things you have got for me. I miss Connie very much. I wish I were with you and Johnny, for I could hunt for myself. Yours lovingly, Theodore Roosevelt. P.S. I liked your peas so much that I ate half of them. Promptness, excitability, warmth, histrionics, love of plants and animals, physical vitality, delight, sensitivity to bird song, fascination with military display, humor, family closeness, the conservationist, the natural historian, the hunter, all are here. T.D. mentions Passim, the name of his future wife, Edith, and there is a hint of the 200-pound president in the embarrassed postscript about peas. During the summer of 1868, T.D. began to keep a diary. The Roosevelts were then living in their new country place at Berrytown on Hudson, New York, and the little volume is full of the joys of bird nesting, swimming, hiking, and long rides through grass up to the pony's head. Apart from one reference to an attack of asthma, the diary reads like that of any normal 9-year-old. Yet T.D.'s health was as bad as ever. He was never well for more than 10 days at a time. So accustomed was he by now to recurrences of illness that he rarely bothered to record them. Theodore Sr. grew seriously worried as the summer went by, and T.D., for all his hyperactivity, remained pasty-faced and skeletal. The other children were blooming in comparison, but only with their brother. Bammy's crippled spine, Elliot's tendency to rushes of blood in the head, and little Corinne's own asthma tormented all his protective feelings. Yet another cause for alarm was the strange decline of Mitty Roosevelt. A certain wistfulness, combined with increasing fragility and indolence, had begun to affect this exquisite woman since the end of the Civil War. It was as if Sherman's looting of her ancestral home and the simultaneous death of her mother, not to mention the banishment overseas of her 2 secessionist brothers, had cut the southern lifelines that hitherto sustained her. Gradually, she sank into a kind of gentle invalidism. Although she remained beautiful, charming, and witty, Theodore Sr. was saddened to see yet another blossom wilt upon his boughs. When Mitty herself suggested in the winter of 1868-69 that a trip to Europe might do the whole family good, he welcomed the idea. With characteristic enthusiasm, Theodore Sr. sat down and drafted an itinerary that covered 9 countries and a whole year of traveling time. On May 12, 1869, Theodore Sr. escorted his brood aboard the paddle steamer Scotia, bound for Liverpool. Although T.D. later declared that he hated the Roosevelt Grand Tour, he recorded it at great length in his diaries. They begin on an enigmatic note. "It was very hard parting from our friend," T.D. writes, confessing that he cried in saying goodbye. This mysterious person was almost certainly a 7-year-old girl named Edith Caro. For as far back as he could remember, quiet, steady-eyed little Edie, as he called her, had been his most intimate acquaintance outside the family circle. Her father's house was only a few blocks away from 28 East 20th Street. Edith and Corinne had been wheeled side by side in their baby carriages. When Aunt Annie began giving lessons to the younger Roosevelts, it was natural that Edith Carrow should be included. Although she was, in these early years, more attached to Corinne than anyone else, it was plain that a special relationship was developing between herself and T.D. They shared a passionate interest in books, and their characters complemented each other. Where he was ardent and impulsive, feverish in his enthusiasms, Edith was sensitive and cautious, a cooling breeze across his sometimes overheated landscape.